two, one. Yes, you got it. Hello, everybody. It's me, Stephen Brody Stevens, back here again doing a podcast. It is the Festival of Friendship. I have bought all the tapes. I have all the original downloads, and they will be transferring over to the server on the memory platform that I purchased, and that's the way that goes. It's a beautiful day here in Burbank, California, early April 2018, Year of the Dog. Things are happening. When you listen to this podcast, the day before would have been a shooting on the campus at YouTube. When you listen to this today on Periscope, you know that last night, Shohei Ohtani hit a home run for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So it is Shohei fever here in Southern California. Baseball is back. Baseball is the kind of sport that where if I have a night off, I will take a night off specifically for comedy. Comedy is a tough one. You would think that if you're a comedian, one of the easiest words or one of the words you should be able to say is comedy. But I'm nasally. I can't say comedy. Emma?
Comedy. I think you say it fine.
It really inflames my nasal drip. What can I tell you?
You're allergic to comedy.
Oh, way to take a shot at me. This is what happens here at All Things Comedy. They will have people who interact. It's fun. It's a great show to be a part of. It's a great network to be a part of. Tonight, when you listen to this, I will be at the World Famous Comedy Store closing out the main room, an extended set, anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes on a Wednesday night, depending on how the sound guy feels. I don't want to keep these guys too late. Some have children. Some have to get up early and they do their own job. That's part of it. When you're a comedian, not only do you have to entertain the audience, you also have to obviously entertain yourself somewhat. You wouldn't be doing it comedy. You wouldn't be doing humor if you didn't enjoy it, I would think. I don't know. So, but you're also entertaining the staff. You're entertaining the food runners, the sound guys, the door guys, the management. Imagine if, again, you're running late. I'm doing extra. I'm technically allotted 15 minutes, just like everybody else. But it's kind of a human's agreement that you can extend on that last spot. So, but they can cut you short at 30. They can cut you short at 35. It's a lot of, variables involved. So I would say that to comedians that, I'm not saying you want to make the bartender laugh. You want to make the waitresses laugh. You want to make the door guy laugh. You want to make the box office person laugh. You want to make the food runner laugh. You want to make the valet guy laugh. You want to make the security guy laugh. These are the guys you want to, and maybe a comedian or two. That's where you get the true feedback because they see everybody. That's why I walk out of the comedy store knowing that the door, when I get hard on myself and I go, I'm not funny, I'm not good enough, what do people think about me? I don't know. I feel that I'm on the same lineups as Bill Burr and Sebastian and Bird and Rogan and D'Elia, and I'm holding my own. Nobody's saying this guy's a weak link. I mean, they put me on at the end, but nobody's saying that. So sometimes you just have to, and I don't question myself. I'll tell you what, I go to the comedy store, you don't have time to question yourself and go, am I good enough? Now, I do question myself. I had an early spot there on Saturday night recently, and I went up at, 8:30 or 8:45 on one of their early Saturday shows, and I've done a bunch of those earlier Saturday shows when they first started happening. Again, I'm on the ground floor. I'm trailblazing. I'm doing the pilot presentation. I'm bringing the energy. I'm letting the audience know this is a cool thing. Let's keep it up. And boom, the next thing you know, every Friday and Saturday, there's early shows now. They're doubling up shows. And I was there on one of the first shows. So, in the first few weekends. But since then, do I want to do the Death Squad Ice House show Friday? I'm running it. Can I do it Friday? What's my schedule? I don't know. I can do it. Willie Hunter, he was on the show. Okay, so back to the stand-up. As a comedian, I have so many, before I go on, I'm constantly, usually doubting myself. The one club I don't really doubt myself at, believe it or not, is the improv. For some reason, I do pretty well at the improv. I'm relaxed. I maybe because it's my mom grew up down the street and there is a warmth at the improv. Not to say that the Comedy Store doesn't have the warmth. The Comedy Store does have the warmth. The Comedy Store almost has too much warmth through the fact where it's open to everybody. Remember that. Comedy Store is open to everybody. These other clubs, not necessarily. So, well, because they have everybody there, the Comedy Store, people will go, oh, it's dangerous, it's rough, there's weirdos there. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. But that's the great thing about that club. It's open to that. But if we can corral them and keep these rebel rousers where they are on the front patio and rope them off, hey, come on down. Just leave me alone. No, I'm playing. I would say that I'm treated pretty well at the Comedy Store. I don't go to the comedy, except the nights where I'm not performing. People think, oh, Brody, you're always at the Comedy Store. No, I'm there. It just seems like I'm there all the time because I'm promoting it. I put my heart into it. I'm doing the retweets. And then I'm getting retweeted by the Comedy Store. So you think that I'm there all the time. I'm not. I get three spots, maybe on a holiday if Sebastian's doing a theater tour. Maybe. It's usually two. But I'm thankful that I like doing the one late show. You know, if I get a Wednesday, he gives me the Wednesday late show. I have that tonight, closing it out. But I would do a Friday or Saturday. I don't need to do both. It's just fun. It's fun to go up there and talk and have an audience, and I'm not holding them hostage. That's the thing. You can read an audience, you don't want to beat them down. You can feel it. Whereas, like, you're a headliner on the road. You have your act. You're a feature act or what have you. You have your act, beginning, middle, and end. The crowd is conditioned to go, hey, you did your time. Okay, good. We're tired or this or that. These are not road shows. It's a read. It's a feel. That's what you have to have when you're in New York and Los Angeles. You have to have a feel for people. You can't just come here doing your shtick that might get laughs, crush on the boat, crush in the bar in the middle of nowhere. No knock on that. I get it. Those are hard rooms. For me, maybe not, but doing the road, I would say for me, if you were to say, Brody, you're going to do a club in, I don't know, one of these cities, Nashville, headlining. I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know if I, at an improv, they're happy. I don't like to play at clubs where they put a video on before with the rock and roll music. I don't know. I didn't get asked to be it. The improv didn't put me in their video. My photo's not up at the improv. That's the one thing. I feel like the improv is a family member to me also. But it's like, come on. Yeah, I mean, can I get my picture on the wall somewhere? Some of these comedians have two, or I bet you three photos. And there's a painting outside. But you can't get a little picture from me somewhere at the improv. I'm on the digital marquee once in a while. But again, I like the improv. I like the Laugh Factory. The staff at the Laugh Factory, very nice, very friendly. I get along with Jamie. I like Jamie. I say I get along, meaning like I guess some people, he's a tough guy. He doesn't just like everybody. That's the thing. Not everybody is welcome at the Laugh Factory. You have to go through the process. Who are you? What are you? Who's recommending you? Where are you from? What's your catchphrase? Can I make videos on you? I don't know. Do you want to pass out food to the homeless? What are you doing on Thanksgiving? What are you doing on Christmas? What are you doing on New Year's? What are you doing on Passover? What are you doing on Yom Kippur? These are the things that you have to look at the Laugh Factory. The Improv is putting a good effort out. I like them. The Ice House is a great club. Joe Rogan loves it. That's one of his go-to clubs. You get a real good workout, real, regular people. I've struggled there. I haven't played the Ice House enough, but they treat me well. The bartenders like me. The staff likes me. So again, that warmth matters to me. Also at the Comedy Store, you want to keep the morale up. You want to keep the morale up. I'm saying, Adam, if I can get two spots a week, I'll take it. Three would be nice, but I'll take two. And there's enough shows going on now. They're spreading shows out. They're adding shows. But hey, maybe I'm out. Get rid of Brody. The guy who was at the early stages of the roast battle. If you look at the LA Weekly article that really broke the roast battle out, who was there? Me, Stephen Brody Stevens, having a deal with Don Barris. We did our thing. And then Jeff Ross, I brought him up there. He followed me. And then look what happened with that. The bottom line is, I'm bringing positive energy. And they want you to be on meds. Hollywood, they don't want you to tell the truth, especially if you're from the Valley. Especially. So, yeah, I can give you some, the stamp of approval, but the trade is, yeah, I might say something. Well, you know what? Pay me. Hollywood, if you want me to watch what I say, pay me. Give me a gig. I'm just like that YouTube girl. You started censoring her. You started taking her money away. And then she flipped out. That's what I'm going to do. Not that, but I'm saying that give me the job. Why am I not on these shows? I've never auditioned for Seinfeld. I've never auditioned for Parks and Rec. I've never auditioned for the Hawaii Five-0 reboot. I never had those opportunities. Why? Because I'm from the Valley. Why? Because I drove a Pinto. Why? Because I went to Reseda that got made fun of all the time. And it bothered me. Here's the other thing. You're listening to All Things Comedy Festival of Friendship with Stephen Brody Stevens. We will be taking phone calls. We will be interacting. I come back to you and I just don't want you to go through what I went through. I know what it's like to be held back, to have people worrying, to worry, worry, worry. I'm not blaming my Jewish mother, but maybe I am. And then you had my sister. Let me tell you what, Stephanie, my phone the other day broke on stage. I was performing at the Comedy Store on Saturday night. I was going to drive down Easter Saturday night to see my mother and spend Easter with my mother on Sunday night in Palm Desert. Palm Desert, Easter, Stephen, Jackie, Daisy together. Cuddling with Daisy. Watching baseball. Eating food. Celebrating life and family. So I'm told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to go perform at the Comedy Store. I'm in the main room. It's a freaking layup spot, by the way. And it was. If you have a primetime spot and you are in Hollywood, you just have to connect the dots and top off the T's. It's a freaking layup. There, I said it. Come at me. Come at me. But I did well, like I normally do, let's be honest. But somehow on stage, my phone, because I get nervous, I'm more relaxed now than I am when I'm on stage. Of course, because it's just me. Emma's in here. Nobody's looking at me. The only thing I'm thinking about are people watching on Periscope, people watching on Twitter, people listening to this down the road. That's what I'm worried about. I think the pot, who knows? But what I'm getting at is, what was I getting at? talking about stand-up, talking about my mother. Yeah, well, it's Stephanie. That's what happened. I dropped my phone, right? So my phone is shattered. I think I moved the stool on. I took my phone off the stool. It was resting on the stool. I put it on the floor up there. And then I moved the stool. I think when I scooched the stool, it lifted up and it landed. The leg hit the screen right on the camera, shattered it. And so my phone was shattered. My mom's number was in there. I couldn't call. I couldn't text. You know, I got back home. I said, I was bummed out. My phone's broken. I can't tweet. I can't read the news. I can't focus on conspiracy theories. Of course, your phone breaks. Not that I'm married to my phone, but if you're going to drive 2 hours, you'd like to have a phone. Am I right or am I wrong? So I said, I'm not going to drive down there. I was not for sure going to go anyway. So the phone breaks. I can't call my mom. I could. I guess I could go home, find my mom's number on the iPad, and then call her from somewhere. I don't know. That's what I would have had to have done. My mom doesn't do text. Okay? So what do? I get home around 9:30. 9:45 at the latest, I text Stephanie. I go, Stephanie, my sister, I go, my phone broke. I can't call mom. She was expecting me to call, and I may be going down there tonight. Something like that. She writes, text back to me, at a concert. Okay, you're at a concert. You're seeing a frickin' Gavin Rosdale, Billy Squire acoustic set at a frickin' bar and grill in Westlake Village, okay? Well, my phone's busted on the satanic streets of Sunset Boulevard. So I get home. I open up the iPad. I text Stephanie. She's at the concert. Okay, so I'm at home. I forget. It was Saturday night. I did whatever. I stayed home. So Sunday I get up. No phone. Easter. Can't call mom. I try to go to the mall to see if the Apple store, nothing's open. Of course, it's Easter. I get it. I thought maybe there's a chance. So that doesn't happen. I get back home and I texted Stephanie again. Did you call mom? Whatever, bing. And she goes, yes, I talked to her, something like that. So then that's on Sunday. Monday, I get my phone fixed, and I'm able to call my mom. She's excited to hear from me. Oh, you're okay. Good. I was nervous. I go, yeah, I know. I said I was going to call you, and the phone broke. I go, did Stephanie tell you? Well, yeah, she called me. I go, when? When she call you? I don't know. Sometime yesterday. I go, sometime yesterday. Well, my phone broke on Saturday night. I texted Stephanie specifically so we didn't have your stress. You weren't worried. That's why I texted Stephanie, but she's at a freaking concert. And then she says, I had to text her the next day to see if she called you or called you. So that happened. So she says, yes. So then I get my phone, I turn it back on. I see my mom's called me like 5 or 6 times. So she was freaking out, thought something happened. So she got stressed. That's what I wanted to avoid. But again, I'm by myself. That's what I'm dealing with. I got two ladies. I got my mom stressed out. I got my sister at the frickin' Billy Squire acoustic set in Westlake Village. And I'm busting my tail. And I don't get help. And they wonder why the Jewish guys have heart attacks. They wonder why these guys are snapping. I'm letting you know you don't want this. Did I like driving a Pinto? No, I couldn't handle it. Now, other people could handle it. I couldn't. The mom, the dad, but the parents are divorced. Do you see what I'm saying? That's where the dad comes into play. Well, what about your brother? Didn't happen. That's the luck of the draw. I got Stephanie. I got my mom. I got a divorced. Looks like I got an email. I got divorced families everywhere. was raised in a freaking prison yard. So I report back to you that if you're a guy like me, a good guy, 3,000 television audience warmups, hangover, the roast battle, baseball, educated somewhat, and you're telling me that I'm wrong for reporting back the truth? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I went through. And if you think like me, a guy who's done 3,000 television audience warmups, a podcast, apple cider vinegar, you're going to be upset. It's going to drive you nuts, is what it is. Now, I don't want to get political, but you could say, I don't care, I have my job, I do my thing, which is fine. But that's what the people thought at YouTube the other day, and now they have had a freaking mad woman. You think it's not going to affect you? Wait till you drive through the pothole. Wait till you step on the needle. Wait till your house gets broken into, and it's happened to my friend twice in the last 2 years. So don't tell me it's not your problem, because it will be. Here in California, let California be a microcosm of what's happening, not the TV show. I don't hate anybody. I don't like people who don't like me. That doesn't feel good, but I don't see somebody go, I hate you, for no reason whatsoever. If I'm going to hate, and I don't hate anybody. There's things I don't like, but the things I don't like is what most people don't like. And that's what they try to tell you. They try to keep it from you. Now you're seeing the tide turn, because all we're saying is truth. I'm not a Nazi. I am not racist. What is racism? Racist is like not giving somebody a chance, right? You're black. You don't get a chance. That's racist. But to get upset over something, over somebody who's a different race, and you got up, I don't know if that's racism. I think, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. But not giving somebody a chance is bad. You got to give people a chance. I don't care. And sometimes, yeah, don't judge a book by the cover. But you also have to understand, hey, you're dressing a certain way. People are going to look at you a certain way. You're not even allowed to say what I'm saying right now. What I'm getting at is the David Hoggs of the world, these kids, are shooting each other. It ain't me shooting it. It's not many adults breaking. I mean, I'm sure it is, but it's kids shooting kids. You guys can't handle it. I'm not blaming you. I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying that you guys are doing it because your parents, who are younger than me probably, they were raised on video games. They were raised on pushing it. They were raised on, you know, creating content, cable, DirecTV, social media. They just push, push, push. They said, you can't yell, you can't do this, you can't. We all know about it. We all know about it. I'm not saying anything that isn't talked about, how it's a trophy society. So what I'm getting at is, this is a result of it. These shootings, these act outs are a result of kids not playing baseball, kids not being yelled at, kids not saying the Pledge of Allegiance. They're not taught to respect. They're taught to talk back. And you know what? It doesn't work. It's not based in Judeo-Christian ethics. Now, you could say, well, who is this guy talking? Where is this guy doing this podcast from? Orange County? Is he in the middle of the Midwest? No, I'm in Burbank. I'll be at the Comedy Store tonight, and I was in a movie. So I told you before the election. In November, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was going, I'm seeing stuff on Twitter. I'm seeing stuff on the news. I'm seeing stuff on Comedy Central. I go, that's not the world I'm in. And that's not what I bring to these shows. I bring something different. I'll tell you what I remember. You know when I knew that these were misguided, brainwashed, negative people? I'll tell you when. When I had my show at the Improv, this was back in, I don't know, August of 2016, And I was doing a show at the Improv, and they were getting ready to do the roast of Rob Lowe on Comedy Central. So I'm doing the show. I had David Ross from the Cubs, who later went on to be on Dancing with the Stars. I had a couple other Cubs coaches, my friends, all that stuff. So I go do the show, and because the roast was coming up, they said, Brody, can we throw some comedians on to work on their stuff? I said, yeah. So Pete Davidson, Jeff Ross, Jimmy Carr, and one or two other people came up. And I'm listening, and all their jokes were, you know, attacking Ann Coulter, like mean jokes. And I was going, oh, I get it. I mean, I know when you do a roast, everybody's a target. I get that. But it just seemed like these were very one-sided against Ann Coulter. I get it. I'm not defending Ann Coulter. I'm saying that as an observer, it seemed like a high number of these attacks, jokes, were aimed at Ann Coulter. My instincts as a referee, as a educated Arizona State University devil's advocate, I look at it and go, this is too much. I got to break it up. It's too one-sided. Not saying it's not funny. I'm not getting into that. I'm not saying you're not funny. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's too one-sided. So right there, that showed me is like, you're just going to anger people. It angered me, and I didn't vote for Hillary. Not, you know, so these are people who are, they're getting a wake-up call now. I'm sorry. Because it doesn't work. And you could say whatever you want. You're not even allowed to mention Trump. But that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Sorry. The guy's getting stuff through. And I don't want to get into politics because that's just the way it is. And that's why when you vote, they have a curtain. I don't need to tell you who I voted for. That's none of your business. That's another thing. All these people, when they voted, they go, I voted. I'm with her. I go, geez, all these people coming out of the woodwork? And then they were crushed. They all came out of the woodwork. They didn't want to listen to my tweets that I'm from the Valley. I don't get it. I've worked on these shows. I've not seen one African-American writer. Where is he? Where is she? Oh, maybe a couple shows here and there. But for the most part, no. I didn't see him. Was there a black writer on Best Damn Sports Show? I mean, I liked the show, but was there? Was there a black writer on At Midnight? I don't know. So practice what you preach. That's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is I saw that. And then I went to Reseda. I got bussed. And we need to say the Pledge of Allegiance. There you go. How long have I done, Emma? I think I'm going to take a breather on that.
You're at 33 minutes.
It's a 33-minute opening monologue. Okay, I got to call Howard Kramer. Now, do they, is my Twitter, you said that the phone number would be up on the screen?
I can put it up on the screen whenever you're ready for it.
Well, I'm not ready for it yet.
Yeah, just let me know when you're
ready. Could you put up any kind of text?
No, it has to be pre-programmed into the program, so we would have had to set it up beforehand.
So next time I could put like Stephen Brody Stevens, like talking, you know, like a title card, not a title card, but just like a graphic, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they could put the phone number. They could probably put the graphic.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to call out right now to a guy who has been on the show before. He actually has a special show happening tomorrow. Let's call him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reaching out to Howard Kramer. Here we go. Howard Kramer.
Stephen Brody Stevens.
Howard Kramer. Yes. Welcome to the Festival of Friendship here on All Things Comedy, originating in Burbank, California. You are on the air live. We don't screen calls.
That's okay. I'll keep it clean.
No, we have a delay, so don't worry about it. Everything's delayed.
Let me put on my headphones. I want this to feel like an official recording session. Hang on.
Okay. Howard Kramer putting on headphones. Howard is the host of Who Charted, very successful, long-running podcast on the Earwolf Network. Howard also...
That's right. And tell him that we right now... Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You are coming in loud and clear, ladies and gentlemen, from the state of New Jersey, Howard Kramer.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, since you were speaking of Who Charted, my podcast, we now have Natasha Leggero.
Wow.
And co-hosting every single week. So check it out, Who Charted on Earwolf.
Who Charted on Earwolf with new co-host Natasha Leggero. She is hot, that in the bit hot, you know, attractive also. She is a new woman. She has a special coming out with her husband. Are they married?
Yes, they are. Moshe, I was at the wedding. Was at their house, Moshe Kasher and Natasha, and now they have a daughter.
I'll tell you what, Natasha and Moshe, they're good people. I don't want to get involved in politics. This is a heavy political show. We will not go into that direction. But go ahead, Howard.
I just heard you going in that direction, and I was trying to dissuade you out of going that direction so we could talk about, you know, good, positive, the kind of stuff you like to talk about.
Of course. Of course I do. Natasha Leggero, let me say something about Natasha, your co-host. She was at one of the, she and Moshe were one of the only two comedians that were at my premiere screening for my Comedy Central show, Enjoy It. And I've known Natasha for a long time, Moshe not as much, but they're...
Why wasn't I at the screening?
Weren't you a plus one? Weren't you a plus none? Kidding. The screening was at the Cinerama Dome.
Yeah, I didn't go.
No, it was...
Maybe I lost the email.
It was a long time ago, but...
But hey, I was in one or two episodes, right?
Yeah, you were. You're a great guy also. That's the thing I try to get across to people. You know, you could say whatever you want about Kumail. You could say whatever you want about Patton.
Roseanne.
You could say about... I don't know about Judd Apatow necessarily. I don't know him that well. I could speak to Kumail. He has a good heart. He does care. These guys do care. You could say they're whatever they're, how they're, what their thought. I'm just telling you, as a guy, I do see the good in people, no matter how, because we're human beings. We're all, humans are inherently good people.
There you go. That's Luke Bryan. You sound like Luke Bryan.
He says that?
He's got a hit song right now. It's on the top of the country charts. It's Most People Are Good.
Yeah, Most People Are Good. What's your take on country music, Howard?
Well, I've always listened to it because my dad listened to it. I've always thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. Most of the modern country is not good, but every now and then you get a funny song or one that you actually like. So I keep an eye on the country charts.
When you say most of it's not good, what's not good about it? What makes it not good?
Well, I mean, the biggest complaint most people have about modern country music is that it doesn't have that authentic, old school kind of sound like Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, that kind of thing. Right now, people think it's too overproduced. Half the guys are rapping.
Oh, they rap now, right? Like Jason Aldean.
Yeah, Florida Georgia Line and different people. So people just think usually it's too overproduced. It's too glitzy.
It's Hollywood. Nashville.
There you go.
A lot of these guys, they moved to Nashville is a huge music town. So a lot of these guys, they moved in, like the Taylor Swifts. She moved to Nashville. So they go there to make it big. And I like some of the, I mean, I liked a couple Luke Bryan songs. I like a couple, you could find like a Kenny Chesney song that you like, right? He's considered new country.
Yeah. He's one of the hit makers. I'm not into him, but I know what you're saying. Yeah.
He's got a great duet with Pink.
Yeah. I'm not so into him. Are you eating on the microphone?
No, I'm not. I'm reaching into a can of Altoids. Is that eating?
Well, it's making the same noises as eating.
Where?
In my ears. You sound like a guy who's eating on the phone.
Ask Emma. I'm not eating. I have a Altoid resting underneath my tongue. I did eat before the show. I went to McDonald's. I gorged, and I should not have. And you look after your diet. How has your diet been? Howard Kramer, I saw you the other night, very lean. Tell us about your diet and your exercise routine. Howard Kramer.
Well, first off, I want to say Ask Emma sounds like a good segment for the show.
Ask Emma. That could be a good one. You're always thinking. You're always coming up with projects. I like it.
Speaking of which, we may or may not be at 8 p.m. tomorrow night behind Meltdown Comics, which has just closed, as everybody knows. It was open for 10 years. Now it's just closed.
You said may or may not be.
Well, I'm trying to make it sound like a rumor.
Okay. Continue the rumor. Let's drag out that rumor.
Like, this is blind item. Blind item. There may or may not be a stand-up show back there tomorrow, Thursday night at 8 p.m., behind Meltdown, right behind Meltdown where everybody's used to going and hanging out.
But I thought it closed down.
It closed down, but that's the man telling us it's closed down. We're taking it back. We're taking the reins back, and we're saying it closes when we say it closes.
Yes, I love it. It's like you're going to have to drag us out of this club. I think this could turn into, you know, that U2 video where the streets have no name or whatever they sang on the roof, and then LAPD, they shut them down.
They shut them down, but we're hoping that this doesn't get shut down. But if they shut us down, they shut us down.
I think it would be good publicity if we got shut down.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But then...
Don't perform.
Well, but here's the thing. Comics have really been responding to the point where I have people that even want to do it next week. So that's just why I'm saying I hope it stays going for a while, because there's people already want to do it.
You're a guy who comes up with good ideas. Have you always been an idea guy?
I guess so. Yeah. I'm usually looking for another way to do things because I'm lazy. I don't know.
But you've been you could call you. Okay. Go ahead. Bill Gates. Go ahead. Bill Gates.
It was Bill Gates, I think, or maybe it was Steve Jobs. He said that he hires lazy people to do stuff because they'll figure out the fastest way to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, did he do it again? The guy, the Japanese guy. Did he hit another home run? The guy in the Angels, Ohtani?
Oh, Ohtani? Did he?
Wait, did he hit one this afternoon?
Well, he hit one yesterday. Did you see them give them the silent treatment?
Yeah, I saw that. They gave...
That's funny.
I think he's a player. I love when the Japanese guys and the Asian players come over to play baseball. I think baseball is just, they talk about other sports being international, but baseball, there's just something about it. I don't know, just what the curtain calls, you're catching the kid caught the ball out in right field, all these moments. He's a two-way player. It was just, it feels like I got to make a trip down there. I want to go down to Anaheim and just check out the game the energy.
Let's do it. In fact, they're playing the Yankees later in the month.
That's going to be a tough ticket to get. Okay, Shohtani just homered against Corey Kluber, tying the game at 2 in the fifth. This one was just to the left of center field. Did he just hit a home run in the daytime? I'm trying to find this out.
Yeah.
All right, never mind. This is a live podcast, so everything. This is breaking news. You know that when you call the what's the name of this podcast? Festival of Friendship. You know that breaking news may happen on this podcast,
which is a live score.
I'm trying to find out Ohtani Angels. Have you played?
No, real quick.
Go ahead.
You know what I'm liking already? You can see when you watch the Angels game, there's tons of ads pop up for Japan Airlines.
Oh, really?
Ohtani's Japanese, so I'm sure tons of Japanese people are following the Angels now.
Yep, he had a home run this afternoon. Let me go ahead. I'm going to play you the audio. I'm going to play you the audio. Okay, I'm going to play you the audio. Hold on. I'm playing you the audio.
That's up to the center field. Zimmer racing back, still going back near the ball. Goal! Big fly
We're tied at two.
Hey, you know what, Brody?
Oh, my gosh. It's exciting. He hit a home run. He's got two home runs. He hit one last night.
He hit one in his first at bat.
Yeah, first at bat at Anaheim Stadium. I call it Anaheim. And then he just hit one today off Kluber, who's like one of the top pitchers in Major League Baseball. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Do you know what else? The Japanese, they haven't had a two-way player like that.
We haven't had a two-way player like that.
No, but it's been since the 50s.
Yeah, but in America, it's been since Babe Ruth. This isn't he hit a home run and pitch.
You know who it was in Japan in the 50s?
Sadahata Oh? I don't know. Who?
No, he was 70s. It was Godzilla. He did offense and defense.
Okay. We may have to cut that out and delete it. I have an international audience, Howard, and just want to help.
I thought this was
We're doing comedy, of course. Did you know that Matsui, his nickname, Matsui on the Yankees, was Hideki Matsui? His nickname was Godzilla. So,
okay, there you go.
That's what I was thinking of. So, Howard, let me ask. You have a very successful podcast. It airs on the Earwolf Network. It's called Who's Charted. Let me ask, in how many episodes are you up to?
We are at like 383.
That's a lot of podcasts, 383. Not many podcasts get to those kind of numbers.
Yeah, even at Earwolf, the only podcast at Earwolf that predates us is Comedy Bang Bang. But we just we started in 2010, and we just never miss a week. So now we're at like 383.
Is it now your show? It's Who Charted, and it's about the music charts. It's about charts. Every week, some new chart coming up in entertainment.
We count down the top five songs and then the top five movies. But sometimes we switch up the music charts. So, like yesterday, Chris Fairbanks was on, and we did a country chart.
Country music. What are the odds that I would call you, and then I talk about country music, and then you said you had Chris Fairbanks, comedian, on, and you guys did a country music chart. That is a country connection.
Country connection.
So you have a podcast. How much?
Junior Chills.
Hashtag Junior Chills. How much preparation goes into your podcast for each week?
Well, I guess it's kind of Jesus. Oh, he's bumping me for the road.
No, I turned again. Go ahead.
I'm kidding. Every day I listen, you know, every day I listen to music or keep up on the movies, or I share stories a lot of times on the podcast that happen to me. So it's a daily accumulation of stuff.
So it's daily, but is there a time like when you actually, so you come in there, you'll just have all your notes and your charts just accumulated through the day, or it's the week. It's not like you sit down at a specific time and I got to knock all these things out.
No, it's mostly accumulated. But we have like staff that brings the charts in and stuff. So all I really have to do is bring in like my ideas and my stories.
Yeah. Now, let me ask, we're both comedians, we're both performers. How much comedy, how much does having a feel matter? Like I was talking about it earlier on the podcast here, how, you know, you can go out on the road or go do a show and just kind of like ABC, boom, get laughs. I feel like when you're doing comedy, it's a real, you got to tap into things. You have to be present. Yeah. You have to like read cues.
Absolutely. 100%. In fact, I got to remind myself to do that. Like a lot of times that's the job of getting ready to perform, is to remind yourself to be open to those things.
But even off the stage, for me, you'll say, oh, I'm not getting a show. I wish I'm not getting booked, or I'm not on the show. And you do, instead of like panicking and possibly changing your path or your routine, you stay with it. And it's like whenever I don't have shows and I think about, geez, I don't have a, then the shows start coming to me. You kind of like have to ride the wave and not panic just because you're not in at a show. It's like You kind of have to put that out in the, I don't want to feel like, oh, I'm talking about the secret, but I can't tell you how many times I feel like, you know, oh, I'm not wanted anywhere. And then the shows just start happening. You ever have that happen to you? Like you doubt yourself a little bit or you get down and then it starts flowing because you didn't quit. You trusted the process.
Absolutely. But I think that sometimes that work that it takes you to kind of get through that slump or whatever, that's what creates the energy that brings everything back in.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be times when I feel like I should be at the Comedy Store, whether I have a spot there or not. I feel like I should be there. And then you say to yourself, there's a lot of people who aren't here tonight. You know, Zach isn't here. Howard Kramer's not here. Dave Attell's not here. You don't have to be there. It's not the end all be all. If you're going to the Comedy Store, yeah, to show your face, have a good time, maybe do a spot. Okay. But it's, you don't have to be there. Don't beat yourself up. So you got to give yourself a break some nights.
Absolutely. I mean, like if you compared it to baseball, there's going to be nights where you don't have it, or there's also going to be nights where you take a night off. I mean, it's a long season.
Yeah, and the manager has to manage his players. He goes, okay, Brody, you've been pushing it. I'm going to give you a night off. Maybe you can do a pinch hit later. Just go do your laundry, relax, watch some TV. Don't even put on your uniform. You got to like have nights like that. So last night, I didn't have a spot, and I thought, okay, I could go to the Comedy Store. I could show my face at Roast Battle. I could maybe go sit down and write jokes, or I could go watch a Netflix thing, which I could have. But I ended up doing laundry, watching the Dodger game. I just kind of like checked out a little bit. And
that's recharging.
Yeah. And then some people, they don't do that, or they, here in LA, I feel like people are like afraid to take a night off almost.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, everybody in between, everybody's doing their own version of it, but yeah, you can't grind and push too hard, especially with comedy, because you know, you also got to be funny. And then I think that, you know, taking those nights off is absolutely
crucial.
Important.
But it's also, the other thing is, you can take a night off, but you can still hit up Twitter. I'll take a night off, and I've, like, for example, I'm watching the Dodger game or the Angel game, and I'll tweet out some stuff. It's fun. I think I like Twitter when it's, when you're watching a sporting event or you're watching, I didn't watch the Academy Awards, but Twitter, it's fun like that. It works.
It's
it
fun.
Works
yeah,
a muscle.
Live tweet. Yeah, live tweeting is fun. Yeah.
But go ahead, Howard. Howard Kramer. We're here with Howard Kramer, who tomorrow night may or may not be having a show at the officially closed Meltdown, famous, iconic comedy bookstore comedy show where they had the Meltdown for years on Sunset, and
that's right.
And Howard, and you're going to do a now it's set up. Are you going to have do you hope to have a stage in the back, or is it going to just be?
We have an elevated. The comic will be elevated. I'll put it that way.
The comic will be elevated.
We can't. We have to do it guerrilla style. We can't be set up too officially. Do you know what I'm saying?
Will there be lights?
There will be lights.
So they're like a spotlight kind of thing,
or
illumination,
or a phone light.
Could you at this point give us any names on the show?
These are not confirmed. I'm going to have to speak with upper management. One of the names being thrown around is Stephen Brody Stevens.
Yes, I hear he is a good guy.
I think so, and he's supporting a great cause and keeping a great place alive. And also we have Nick Rutherford.
Oh, he's a funny kid. He's doing some good stuff.
And we have Cornell Reed.
Yep, he's good. We have 31 people watching live now on Periscope.
Wow, like Baskin-Robbins. Each one of you is a different flavor.
Very, yes, I love Baskin-Robbins. And so that's good. All right, so that's going to be tomorrow night. Unofficially, maybe check Twitter, check you know, your local sources and see what happens. What time would you be there if this is to go on in the Los Angeles area?
I would be there at 8 o'clock sharp, and I would BYOB. There will be no beverages available. And it's a place that everybody knows where it is. Everybody's used to coming to. And we'd love to see you out there.
Love it. Love it. That's Howard Kramer, Dragon Boy Suede, host of Who Charted on Earwolf with Natasha Leggero. You can hear it every week. Howard's a great guy. He grew up in New Jersey. He went to school both at NYU and University of Texas. Did you go take classes there too, or did you just lived in Austin?
Just lived in Austin.
That's right. Did you ever take a class affiliated with University of Texas?
I at one point enrolled in the community college because all the credits transfer to UT. And after one class, I went up to the bursars and withdrew.
I think, yep. Well, I think I remember that story. And you went to NYU? You have your degree from NYU? Or
no, one semester at NYU, a 1 year at Monmouth University.
Yep.
And then 2 years at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Manhattan.
So do you have a diploma from any of these places?
I have a 2 year, whatever that is, associate's degree from acting school.
Well, that's a start.
That's a start.
Do you know if you work 20 hours a week, Starbucks will pay for your Arizona State University education?
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep.
Let's move. Let's head out to the desert. Couldn't you redshirt? Could you get another stint over there?
I used my 5 years up. I used a redshirt year when I hurt my elbow. Arizona's just so relaxing, the desert. That's why I go out to Simi Valley. So I need to see rock formations. I know you are a water guy.
Oh, yeah.
But I like seeing rock formations. But, you know, I think there's rock formations in the water. I think rocks and water get along, don't they?
Absolutely. In fact, a lot of the mountains you see used to be underwater.
Submerged, yep.
Yeah.
Simi Valley, I drive out to Simi Valley, out to Chatsworth area, and there's something about those rock formations. That's where they filmed, you know, Flintstones. They filmed it out there, the one with Rosie O'Donnell.
You lay your yoga mat on those rocks out there?
Call back, Chatsworth, one of my best bits.
I'll never retire it.
I will never retire it. So,
Speaking of bits, real quick, tonight I'll be at the Clubhouse on Vermont and Sunset at the 3 year anniversary of the Idiots show at the Clubhouse.
Is that the one upstairs over the Ralphs, or next to the Ralphs in the Fat Burger lot?
Yeah, but it's not upstairs. But there is an upstairs to that place. But yeah, the show's downstairs.
How come I'm not booked on it?
They probably didn't know they could get you. I think Sam Varela books it. Why don't you just email her?
She didn't call me. What did I do wrong? No, I'm kidding. But no, it's a fun show. I've heard of it. Maybe I'll swing by. You never know.
Eat some fat burger in your car.
I already had McDonald's today. I can't. No. I'm pretty good with giving myself one treat a day. If I do, I will not eat ice cream in the afternoon and then eat it again at night. I will not eat a hamburger in the afternoon and eat another one at night. I don't do that. I my body knows how to handle its dairy products.
You shouldn't be on dairy.
Well, I still like ice cream. You're not going to keep me away from Baskin Robbins.
No, you can do ice cream. You know what I still do? I do Reese's peanut butter cups.
I love them.
Get me off them.
I do them. That's a late night 7-Eleven snack.
Buy five packs at a time.
Wow. I don't do that. That's a lot. Well, you know, you're saving money. So, listen, Howard, what a great interview. I got to call my mom. We've done 20.
I can't believe Stephanie. I mean.
Oh, you heard that story?
She left your mom hanging.
I know. I'm going to call my mom. I'm going to let them. My mom's go ahead.
What concert? Was she really at Gavin Rossdale?
No. I could call my mom right now with you on the phone, but I don't want to do
that. I don't want to put your mom through that. She's, you know.
I know. She's 87.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Who knows? I'll find out. Saturday night. We'll find out who was playing in Southern California on Saturday night. That's where, and figure it out. If you can find like soft rock, look under that category. Soft rock, acoustic.
She would go out in the valley.
I would say it's probably maybe she was at the Canyon Club. maybe Air Supply and Foreigner were playing. I don't know. She goes to a lot of concerts. She couldn't text, couldn't call my mom and let her know that my phone was broken. I get my phone back and I see that my mom called me 5 or 6 times. I can't
can
even,
I ask?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Does Stephanie smoke POT?
I don't think so. She did at one point because I used to steal it from her.
Would she possibly be at this show and having a few cocktails, some wine?
She doesn't really drink. I'll go on her Facebook page. I'll find out. I'm gonna research why she couldn't.
I'm just saying, if somebody in the middle of my concert that I was like really enjoying, I might like look at the text and not respond right away, and then maybe I don't remember.
Howard, I'm your brother. Help me out.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to figure it out.
All right. Well, you know, I'll
with you.
Okay. Yeah, she should have done that. She's your phone. I'm sorry, but no. And here's the other thing. My sister with the frickin' the thumbs up emoji. I mean, that's what I get from her. I'll say thanks, Stephanie, and it's a thumbs up emoji.
What, you'd rather get the black with the A-OK?
I'd rather get something else. She communicates to me in emojis. I don't need that.
She's trying to dispatch it as fast as possible.
I know. I don't like it.
You want her to focus more on you.
Show some effort, but hey, you know what? It's just not going to change. I'm not going to beat myself up. And I'm not perfect. My mom would go, well, you're not an angel. Well, you know what? Shohei Ohtani is, and he's doing pretty good.
He looks great in the uniform. Hey, did Stephanie ever used to come see you pitch?
She'd go to my games.
And she would root for you and stuff?
She would root against me. She was at my – I'm not saying she didn't support my – that kind of stuff, but just like, you know, picked on me. I'm sensitive. It's fun to pick on me, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, but whatever. I'm gonna call my mom.
All right. Make sure you pop a few Altoids before you call her.
You're right. I gotta have good breath when I call my mom. Show some effort, Stephanie. I don't want to slam. We're not slamming Stephanie here, but we'll find out. I'm gonna call my mom, see what she has any more information.
Hey, but I just want to thank everybody that was listening, and we got to a few topics, but
I thought it was great. It was a good interview, right?
Yeah, and thanks to everybody.
Howard, a real synthetic moment. Thank you. That was sincerely synthetic.
I was thinking the exact lame thing.
Howard Kramer, one of the good guys, respected, likable, put his time in, good quality comedy. Not, you know, he cares. He's an artist. Sensitive, but he'll also go hiking.
There you go. I was just up at the top of Runyon today.
I got to go on some of those hikes with you. We have to schedule it. You know, you got to like say, Brody, you have to be here. My only concern is like driving back. I don't want to be caught in traffic.
Well, why don't you? I mean, if I go at like 11:30, you'd be done at like 12:30. Or if we go at once, you know, we could.
Well, I'm doing the radio right now. I couldn't do it until like after 2.
Oh, I see.
Then I'd be stuck in some traffic, but you know, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. I want to
do a weekend. Could do a weekend.
What about mornings? Too early.
Morning. How early?
I'd have to leave there by 9:30. It's too early.
Too early.
I have to be and see me at 11. It's too early. But listen,
you know that.
Go ahead, Howard. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Howard Kramer. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to give more details, but we're good. I mean, we'll hit it on a weekend. Maybe the 4th of July. We'll figure something out. And
let's play. We'll hike Runyon Canyon 4th of July. All right, I'm putting that down on my calendar.
And I want to attend a Dodgers game with you this year.
You got it. We'll go.
Chavez Ravine.
And Anaheim. Let's go down to Anaheim.
Yeah, let's go see Ohtani down there.
I know the hitting coach, Eric Hinsky.
And this is not a joke. They serve sushi at Anaheim Stadium.
I like sushi. Give me some California rolls, some spicy tuna. And then we can go down with Barstool Sports. You could be, hey, we can shoot some video maybe. I don't know. You're welcome to Barstool. Howard Kramer, Barstool Sports, all things comedy.
Will they give me an armband?
An armband. Like a Nazi armband? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Hey, but you and I went to a Yankees. Did we go to a playoff game at Angel Stadium?
We went to a playoff game. We saw Yankees and Angels. That was a fun one.
It was. And you. We also went to a Dodgers game, so I've been to both.
Do we go Dodgers-Phillies?
I don't playoff remember.
Playoff game?
No, the Dodgers wasn't playoffs.
Okay.
We sat out in, like, right field by the dugout, by the, you know, pitchers.
Yeah. Baseball's fun to go to a game and relax.
Yeah. You got recognized a couple times. It was nice.
It happens once in a while. All right, I'm going to call my mom, and they got a who's up? Is Eddie Pepitone up next today, Emma?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, when is his show?
Four.
Okay, so we have 35 minutes. All right, listen, Howard, great job.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, anytime. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye. Thank you. That was Howard Kramer. Now we're going to call my mother. Hey again, since you're continuing. Okay, let's call my mom. You're listening to All Things Comedy, Stephen Brody Stevens. Emma, that was good radio, right? Was that good podcasting?
Always good podcasting. Hell yeah.
I thought it was a good, I was proud of my questioning. I liked how I handled it. I'm calling my mother now. See if she picks up. She's never home. Where is she?
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, Mom. It's me, Steven, checking in. We're doing the podcast right now. The audience said to give you a call, and that's what I'm doing. But you're not there. It's 3:30 on Wednesday here in California. So I'll try you again. Maybe I'll try your cell phone or not. Anyway, love you. And have a great day. I'll talk to you later. Bye. What a good son I am. That's how you leave a message. Let's call Kirk Fox because he probably wants me to call him. And I have something to ask him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling Kirk Fox.
What's up, Brody?
Kirk Fox, you are on the air on All Things Comedy. You're on Periscope. You're on Twitter Timeline. You are on.
Wow, that's a lot. What if I wasn't prepared?
That's what I'm saying. I let you know right out of the gate you're on something. But I knew you'd be semi-prepared.
I live in the moment. So my moment now is talking to probably 300 or 400 people.
31 in the Periscope.
31 is good.
Yeah, I'll take 31. You know, that's a class. If I can get 30 people.
Just a moment ago, I was talking to no one.
There you go. Not even yourself.
Exactly. Not right now.
You sound like you got, not that you normally don't, but you got some good, healthy energy coming through the phone.
Well, you know, I was just filming this morning with Dr. Phil. To promote my hour comedy special that'll be premiering next Friday night, April 13th at 10 o'clock. So Dr. Phil and I were discussing it on television.
Yeah. Are you going to be on Dr. Phil's show? Are you going to be on it?
Yes, I am. Actually, our episode will air next Friday.
You get a full hour.
I don't want a full hour. Just a couple segments is fine.
Now, what did you do? Like a DNA test? Did you break down and cry? Did they follow you backstage? Were you lashed out?
No, man. I just sat down on stage with him, and we talked about comedy, and we talked about my special, and we just talked about who I am.
You've had a good run, good relationship with Dr. Phil. He's involved in tennis. You're involved in tennis. And now this special that's coming out, by the way.
Yeah, yes, sir.
It's not something that you just did. You kind of had a fight for this special, meaning that you taped it and it's coming out now. That's the thing with these specials. You know, unless you're like Dave Chappelle who tapes it, boom, it's coming right out. There's some kind of, you never know until it airs. And when I saw that Showtime trailer, the preview was like, wow, this is good. This was worth the wait.
Things take time. Sometimes a lot of things have to line up, and it finally did. And that's all we can do is just stay in the game. You just never know.
Like what was their reasoning? Did they say like, oh, it's scheduling, or we wait for the right moment, or somebody push for it?
A lot of it comes down to scheduling, and they just there maybe has to be an opening. And it was nice that Dr. Phil is an executive producer on it, and he of course fought for it and lobbied for it. And with him in my corner, things become a little easier at times.
Yeah, how do you go against Dr. Phil? I mean, he's a fun guy to be a. Yeah, I mean, you had a show, didn't you have a show on for Dr. Phil's channel? I mean, you were on CBS. You had your own show back in the day.
I did have my own talk show. It was on CBS, and Dr. Phil's son, Jay McGraw, was the executive producer. He also does the doctors and. I did have a talk show, man. I was in the thick of it. We shot about 150 episodes.
150 episodes. This was not a Johnny come lately relationship with Dr. Phil. To continue to stay friends with Dr. Phil after all these years says something to your character, because I don't know if he's talking to Oprah anymore. You don't know, like, Dr. Phil's not the kind of guy who's hanging out with a lot of people. If you're in Dr. Phil's world and he keeps you there, that is I tip my hat to your character.
We get along. We both have mustaches. We both like tennis, and we seem to laugh at the same things. I don't really ask for much in life, so That could be part of our friendship. Is he knows I want nothing from him other than just to play some tennis.
How is his tennis game?
It's strong. He plays every day.
He looks like Stan Smith.
He does. If Stan Smith used to be a football player, but they do have that same look.
Didn't Stan Smith have a mustache?
Yes, he did. So did John Newcomb.
I remember that name also.
Where are you at? All things comedy? Has that always been your world?
No, because I was on Feral Audio. The Festival of Friendship originally was on Feral Audio. We did about 100 episodes. I think you've been on a couple of those. Then I shifted over to All Things Comedy to get a little more specific in the comedy world. I wanted to be affiliated with Bill Burr and all the Comedy Store comedians. So that's where this show came about, and it's kind of, you know, we're playing with it. I've done maybe 30 episodes. You've been on a couple.
Man, how do you do it? How do you fill 30 hours? What's this? What's it called?
Positive Energy, Apple Cider Vinegar. Oh, the name of the show?
Yeah.
The name of the show, what is it? It's called Festival of Sports, but then I got the job at Barstool Sports. So I kind of.
How is that? Are you still there?
Wait, you've turned the tables on me. I like it. I like that you're interviewing me now. Yes, I am still there. What do you mean I'm not still there?
Well, I don't know. How long do things last these days?
I'm in things for the long run.
That's good.
I'm in stuff. When I commit to something, I commit. And I knew we did talk about how I was finding my way around the new show. And that's, I talked about this with Howard Kramer. He was on the show earlier about you got to read the situation and not panic and not make rash decisions. Just, you know, when you're older and you played sports, you know that, okay, this is new. It's going to take a little while to get used to. It's not going to feel right, but don't quit on it. And then the next day you feel a little better. You feel a little better. And then you get it. It's like learning something in your tennis swing or learning something in your pitching. You can't get frustrated.
Eventually you can hit the curveball. You start waiting on it a little. And I think that's what we're up to.
Yeah. And people think, oh, it's just, you know, you get better at hitting the curveball, but it's not just wait. You work at it. You're working at it. I always tell people that winning is a result of working at it. You're not doing stuff. Winning, of course you want to win, but you got to like chip away. I'm into fundamentals. I think you're a fundamental guy. I think a lot of these, the newer generation, they're not fundamentals. They want instant gratification. And once in a while, yeah, you can hit it and things can happen. But I don't feel that there's a lot of the foundation isn't there when you're going for the Hail Mary.
Yeah, you gotta enjoy the process. You know, the goal for me is the path, just to be a good guy every moment.
But I
try not to look too far ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I could see you out there rallying with Dr. Phil. Boom, a forehand, double backhand.
I'm getting ready to go there now. I might have to call this. Our phone call might be. It might be about over.
Wow, this is a first for me.
I know. I wish I could talk long, but I have to put on my tennis shoes. I have to get in my car and I got to drive. I got to be there at 4.
Dr. Phil doesn't send a car for you?
Well, I bet he would if I needed one.
No, but you're not that kind of guy.
I'm fortunate enough to have a car that will get me there. But if there was a day that I couldn't make it and he needed some tennis, we'd find a way to get there.
So let me ask one question.
Yes, sir.
Today you did the Dr. Phil taping?
Yes, I just got back.
What are the odds that I would call you out of the blue on a day that you shot your Dr. Phil show and I picked up on your energy right out of the gate? I picked up on it, but I also picked up on your energy because you left a message the other day or the other night. And I go, I got to get back to Kirk.
I mean, were you just calling me by accident today? You had no knowledge of my day. I like that.
No, I didn't. I didn't know you were doing Dr. Phil, and I didn't know that you were playing tennis with Dr. Phil, and I didn't know any of that.
Well, I'm excited you called because it allows me to do a little self-promotion by mentioning the Showtime special. So this worked out great. I usually am not very good at self-promotion, but since I have a baby coming in May, I feel that now I might have to start taking my career a little more seriously because I have a baby to feed eventually.
That's right.
So I just can't keep floating. So now when I say watch my special, I actually know that if enough people watch it, it could help me in life. But I will only use my fame and fortune to help others.
There you go. Kirk Fox always giving back. And that's a good one. And you're having a kid. Wow. That is in May. I'm a May baby. So would you have
May 20th, I will be picking up an Instagram follower.
Well, I am May 22nd. If you can hold off, if your wife can hold off for just 2 days.
Oh, I'll tell her. We didn't realize that there was someone famous within 2 days of the target.
I mean, can't they do that? Can you do something like manipulate it?
I think you just squeeze the legs. I think once the legs open, the baby falls out. So we can just tie her legs shut for 2 days.
2 days is all we're asking. And then we can, from then on, it's 2-for-1 birthdays, you know, me and your kid.
I like it.
I'll always remind you of the birthday. Do you know the sex of the child?
It's a young lady is coming to be my friend.
There you go.
It's payback. It's payback.
Yeah. Kirk Fox is going to have a future mixed doubles partner. And
I know. I will say I'm excited about teaching my daughter tennis.
That's awesome. You know, you're, you know, you, Kevin Nealon, Tom Arnold, that's going to be my path. I feel like I'm going to be going that route. Blue collar, you know, real men. There's no rush. You know, we're like fine wine. We're stronger. We start taking better supplements. Iodine.
I agree.
Does Dr. Phil take supplements?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I'm not aware of what anyone takes. And part of my strength is that I would never say either. If I knew, that's the beauty of my relationship with him.
You wouldn't,
I don't know anything.
You would keep his apple cider vinegar usage private.
I'd have to.
Wow. That's interesting.
That's who I am.
I would take a chance because I know the benefits of apple cider vinegar. And for me to not let people know, if David Spade had used apple cider vinegar, I would not announce it, but I wouldn't hide that fact.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to talk to Phil about it, and I'll get back to you if he is.
All right, well, listen. Kirk Fox, he's going to get going. He's got a tennis deal with Dr. Phil. You can find Kirk's special on Showtime. What's the date of it airing?
April 13th.
April 13th. That's coming right up. I guess that's next week.
It's called That Guy.
That Guy.
Hey, and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. And I was going to say Amsterdam.
Follow Kirk Fox. It's cutting out a little bit. Follow Kirk Fox on Instagram and Twitter. Comedian, yeah. New father.
At Kirk Fox.
All right, buddy. He's cutting out. Kirk, I'll text you later. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kirk Fox. Now, let's check in on some sound effects real quick. This is Sound Effects Theater today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to... Hold on. Why is it? Wait.
Shut up.
Don't talk to me that way. Oh, geez, that hurt my ears. Sorry about that. I gotta go. My car won't start. Son of a... Good, got it started. Get out of my way. Say, slow down. I'm on my bike here. I'm on my bike. Stop it. Hey, come back here. Hey, Kirk. Son of a bastard. I didn't mean to say bastard. That's a bad word.
Come on.
Okay, hold on. Let's see this one. Stay with me. Trick or treat. Wait, what happened? What's going on here? Kirk, is that you? Howard, is that you? Let's see what else we got here. Why don't we take a phone call? Can we put the phone number up, Emma? I know we got to wrap it up here pretty soon. I'm out of here. Wait, that's scary. I am out of here. Help! Help! Help me! I'm out of here. I'm tired. I gotta get up. Oh. Hello? What time is it? Oh, God. All right. Tell that kid to be quiet. Quiet. It worked. All right, let's see if we can take a phone. What's the phone number? 323-282-7424. Give us a call on Skype, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Yes! Hey, it's a bark. There's a dog here somewhere. What's happening? Everyone stay calm. Everyone stay calm. Oh, Jesus. Stay calm. Look out. Oh my God, this has turned into a scary podcast. I guess we don't have any callers. Oh, I just had McDonald's. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, God, I don't feel good at all. And I gotta go to the bathroom. Oh. Oh. All right, a couple more. I guess nobody, I'm intimidating to talk to anyway. I want to say today was a great podcast. I'd like to celebrate. This is for you. Let's have a drink here. Ah, cheers. Yes. Fill her up. Wait, are you drinking in your car? Back it up. Hold on, let's see a couple more. A couple more sound effects. Let me, okay, now here, let's hear. What's that? Somebody's calling? Okay, go ahead, caller. Are they there?
Hello, Brody?
Yeah, go ahead. You're listening to Stephen Brody Stevens live from the San Fernando Valley, California. Who am I speaking to?
Oh my gosh, this is awesome. My name is Zach, and I have been listening to you for a long time, man. I just want to tell you that you are amazing, and your positivity, you spread it. You may not realize it, but you spread it to so many people, and it's so amazing. Like, I'll be at work sometimes, and you'll do your steps with Steve, your Periscope, and I'll just start watching it, and you'll just make my day, man. It's awesome. You just keep up what you're doing, man, because it helps people out.
Wow, I appreciate
it. Helps people out more than you know, man.
I appreciate that. What's your name, by the way? If you don't have to tell, you don't have to tell us.
My name is Zach.
Okay, Zach.
Yes, Zachary Eversole. I'm in the chat. You guys might have seen me. I made a couple of comments.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know what? I really do appreciate that. I do it. The positive energy thing, to be honest with you, I've always been a nice guy, and I didn't start really seeing the benefits, like the actual benefits of the positivity until I got into college. I really learned the psychology behind it. And I saw results. It helped with my running. It helped with my pitching. And it was fun. It was fun. And then when I started doing comedy, it didn't happen until maybe 6 years in when I started doing audience warm-up. And I was able to utilize those principles that I learned in college. And I was able to marry comedy, sports, and positive energy. And you know what? It's different. It's fun because everyone's negative, so it catches people off guard. And also, you know, I'm a big guy, and I feel like, hey, you're a big guy. Why not be kind of funny about it?
It is. You know, it really is different, too. You're right about people. Lots of people are negative, even when they're not trying to be. They're negative just because it's in human nature, and you go against it every day. You go against your own nature to spread your positivity to everyone, and it amazes me. Every time I see you're always being just a light for everyone. It's awesome.
Well,
you inspired me to do so. You inspired me to get up on stage. I got up on stage. I started just last year. I've only done it a few times, but I did it. I did it in my local town, Ann Arbor, and then I drove because it's harder to get up around here. So I went and got up in New York a couple places.
Oh, wow.
It was okay. So I went to Chicago and did it a couple places there. I got up at the local Laugh Factory there. They told me I did okay. So now I'm at this point where it's like I don't know what to do next. And I've just been sitting at home and writing and trying to save money because I think the next step is just, you know, head out the West, you know, like, you know, go forth and conquer and whatnot. And it's scaring the shit out of me just thinking about it, you know. And I see you out there, you're just doing it. You're just going for it, man. And it works for you because you're positive. And I feel like if I could apply just like a 16th of what you have in my life, I could get some, I could make a living. I could make a scratch, you know, I could scratch a little my name on the post, you know, like Brooks, before it all ends, you know, like I just want to do something, you know?
Well, Zach, it's hard. First, here's the thing. Thank you again. Thank you. I feel like I like your energy. I like where you're going with it. You know, I would say career-wise, when we start talking money, we start talking career, I would always say that stay away from LA as much as you can. Come out here with a marketable skill. Come out here with at least 5 to 10 minutes of a solid act. It's like you want to get good in Ann Arbor. You want to get good in Chicago. You want to get good in Detroit. You want to get good in New York. Not saying you're not. Then you come out here.
Oh yeah, no, I understand.
So you got to do it. To do it and see what happens. It seems like you like to do it because you like to do it. And if you can make money down the road, hey, that's great too. But you got to do it because you like to do it.
It's magic. When you're up there and it works, it's just magic.
Well, keep doing it, Zach. And I do appreciate your kind words. And again, I always tell people, wasn't my intention. I do hear people tell me that, hey, oh, you inspire me. And I do feel good about that. And it wasn't something that I set out to do. I'm just kind of like sharing information that I have, that has been shared to me, and I've been able to apply it to some pretty cool things. And again, I come back and I say, hey, I've done this based off this and that. You know, it works for me. Maybe you could try, kind of thing. So I want to say thanks, Zach, and keep doing it. And possibly, maybe I'll see you out here, or maybe I'll see you out in Chicago or Detroit.
Maybe, man. Hopefully one day. Man, stay positive. Bro.
Stay positive. Keep doing it. Thank you very much, Zach. That was a good call. Maybe we'll take another caller. Thank you very much. Wait, is that Zach? He turned into a wolf. Oh, my gosh. Take the leap, Zach. I you know what? I say take the leap, but also you want to be... Ow! You want to be smart about it. Yes, you want to you could be a one in a million guy. Who knows? But why be one in a million when you could be two in 500,000? Ow! Don't do that to me. I told you, stop disrespecting me. See, I fell.
OMG.
All right. Let's try and call my mom one more time on her cell phone, and then we'll wrap it up. It's warm in here, and... I'll call my mom in the cell. Calling my mother. Calling my mother. How do you think I feel now? She's not at home. She's not picking up her cell phone. She's 87. These are the things that go through my mind. Is she at Chico's? Is she at Costco?
Your call has been forwarded to...
Is she at Petco? Is she at the casino? Is she at IHOP? Where is she? She could be in an appointment. I don't know. That's what goes through the head of a man. All right. I feel pretty good about this. We didn't do the baseball card game today. Emma, how long have I been on for? 45 minutes.
An hour and a half.
You know what? I think that's good enough. I feel good about it. Let me ask the people in the Periscope right now. People in the Periscope, how should I feel good about this scope? This podcast? I'm asking the people right now in a Periscope chat room how I should feel good about that, as I have an Altoid. Nobody cares. It's delayed. Mom, she's at Denny's Early Bird Special. She doesn't know. I guess it wasn't that good. You can hear me every week on this podcast. I've been doing it now for up to, I don't know, 30 or 35 very good. Enjoyed it. Feel great. It's my mom. Hello?
Did you just call me?
I did just call you.
and the beauty shop.
Oh, you're in the beauty shop. Okay, you're on the podcast. That's what I was doing. I was called you for the podcast. But you're getting your nails done or your hair done?
Oh, pedicure.
Okay, so
I really can't talk.
I know you can't because you're doing your feet right now.
Exactly.
All right. Well, listen. You go do that, and everyone always ask about you. They're proud that you're active, and you drove yourself to the pedicure.
Yeah, nobody else.
My mom drives herself, so keep up the good work, and I'll call you tonight.
Okay. All right.
All right, Mom. I love you too. All right. Enjoy your pedicure.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Okay. I mean, what a great son. What a great son. He goes, enjoy your pedicure. My mom's funny, right? My mom could be funny. I know she could be funny. Who else is going to drive me? All right. Well, listen, what a great podcast. I feel good about it. Let's listen to a little comedy as we wind down today's podcast here on All Things Comedy. If I can find my voice memo. Where in the frick is a voice memo? This is one of my recent shows. My mom is 87. She's never worn glasses. She has all of original eyes, no fake teeth, and she doesn't take pain pills. This is me doing comedy.
But you want to bust my balls. Are you on this show? You're not. Are you in The Hangover? You're not.
That was me being angry. Let's get something different. Okay, this is a fun one. Here we go. Laugh Factory.
Laugh Factory. Give her a nice hand. Yes, front row. Come on down. Mom, Senator Joe Biden, they're all here.
Big laugh.
I got it. I am a cat. I'm not one of the nice guys. I come here with an attitude. You're a good guy. I need you at all my shows. This guy's cool. You're from L.A. I know that. Why is that wrong? Where'd you go to high school? Franklin or Garfield? No high school? I believe it. Give him a nice hand.
Look at these laughs.
Homeschool, I don't want to upset him. I was in The Hangover. We had the world premiere in East L.A. True story. The subtitles were in graffiti. I fought a Crip in 87, if you want to get real.
Pulled her hair.
I'm from Reseda. I went to L.A. Unified School District. You think I did private school with these little Jewish kids with their yarmulkes?
Whoa.
F that. I took my yarmulke off and threw it down.
All right. I'm turning angry on that one. Listen. Let me hear one more. Let's go back to the Laugh Factory. See how this set was.
Style. Are you from Oregon? Are you a UFC fighter? Where are you from?
New York.
New York. New York City?
Upstate.
You got it. What brings you here to L.A.? You got a lot of PD. They're like touching each other. But you know what? I'm not allowed to look. Because I'd be wrong. He's looking at me. Let me do some crowd work. You guys are nice. My eyebrows are too perfect. Stop laughing.
People are always laughing. They're
yourself?
Always laughing.
Let me... No, I'm done with you. I'm talking to her.
They're laughing. You're a good guy.
By yourself. You want to meet Moz? Perfect. You want to meet? Oh, hey, come on. He's a married man with children. What do you study at UCLA? That was my major. Let me tutor you.
Another laugh.
I was a communication. Look how I speak. You're a hip hop dancer, are you? She's not? What do you do? What do you study? Computer what?
Econ.
Econ?
Yeah.
You're going to do just fine.
All right, let's do one more set. This is Hooters now. Let's listen to me at Hooters. That was the last two Laugh Factories. Let's listen to Hooters. I'm listening more just for the quality, not for the actual... Where the frick is the Hooters set? Getting angry if I can't find my Hooters set. Stay with me, I'm not a bad guy. Hooters.
Is satanic. They're bad people. I walk through there and I get the shivers.
Still laughing.
I'm glad the last movie I was in was Hangover 2.
Yeah.
I'm out of this town. I got another gig. And I can rip Hollywood because I don't need it anymore.
This is me at Hooters.
Paid from outside Hollywood. And I have Hollywood secrets. I'm from the Valley. I grew up in L.A. I'm not like these guys who came from someplace else to make it. Okay, so we go for Cisco. Thank you for being here. Give him a nice hand. Thank you for being here.
They're clapping. There's somebody there.
I like your shirt. Where are you from? You're from L.A.
New York.
New York. This guy's cool. He gets it. New York, hardcore, real people.
Let's fast forward.
From Florida?
Yeah.
Do you know what city?
No. Forgot.
You want me to tell you?
Yes.
Clearwater, Florida.
All right.
That's where the first Hooters.
The first Hooters was ever was in Clearwater, Florida. Listen, we had a great podcast today. I want to say thank you very much. We had Howard Kramer. We had Kirk Fox. We had my mother briefly on the show. We had Stephen Brody Stevens. We had a caller titled Zach. So thank you to Emma. Thank you to All Things Comedy. This was a successful podcast. Would you say, Emma, this was successful?
I say it's always a success. I don't think you've ever had a failure podcast, have you?
No. But would
exactly.
you
exactly.
But would you say this one was the reason why I'm asking and also excited because the phone call sounded good and the cameras are good. The Periscope, the Twitter, it seems like all the pieces are in place except a live in-studio guest. So, all of that being said, because not every show, this is a new studio. This is all new. All that being said, I can see this being a full, fleshed-out podcast. This wasn't a podcast like, oh, you got to know this guy to like it, or... what's the backdrop? I don't understand. Like, this is like one of, I feel, a podcast where we did sound effects, we did phone calls, we did Skype. I did a 30-minute opening monologue, which was very controversial. We touched on political topics. The Periscope chat, the Twitter chat, all of that being said, I would say this show, in my speaking, my articulation, I've been using iodine, I've been using various forms of it, wiping it into my wrists and orally taking it. All right, so I'm good. Emma, thank you. Podcasters, thank you. Periscope, thank you. All Things Comedy, thank you. This is Stephen Brody Stevens. You can find me at Brody at BrodyStevens.com. You could also find me on Twitter at Brody is me friend. You could find me at the Comedy Store. You could find me at the Laugh Factory. Also the Improv. Also Barstool Radio, Dialed In with Dallas. And the show continues to grow. But I feel like what we did today, phone calls, Periscope, Skype, all of that, we're set up for a guest. Now I look across the table, I see an empty chair, and I feel that in the coming weeks, there will be another person in that chair that I'll be able to even bring another element to this podcast. You're listening to the Festival of Friendship here on All Things Comedy. I'm your host, Stephen Brody Stevens. For Emma on the board, again, thank you to Howard, thank you to Kirk, and thank you to my mother. You have been listening to All Things Comedy on Periscope, on Twitter, on other things as well. Yes, and we will do the baseball card game again. We took a week off because I focused on the phone calls. I have things happening. The baseball card game will be back. It is not leaving. And on that note, I'll see you next time, reporting live from the San Fernando Valley, your friend, Stephen Brody Stevens. Yes, enjoy it. That's good.